You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
You know, Bart, here on this Friday, as we look out the windows of the Farm Bureau studios, I see the rain coming down.
It's raining a lot, Charlie.
And you know what that makes me think of? Rain delay songs. Because your rain delay song list better be on cue for today if we try to play this thing tonight. By the way, this is our look at the weekend. Mississippi State and Evansville playing in baseball. Got a big basketball game. It's Friday and it's wet.
Yeah, it's a big weekend and unsure of the schedule right now. It's early Friday morning. As of this recording, which is first thing on this Friday morning, we are unsure what the schedule this weekend would be like. It's supposed to rain tonight, but just not supposed to rain all day today. You know, they had record numbers.
What about Eddie Rabbit? I love a rainy night. Would this make your rain delay playlist?
Well, so I can tell a lot about you right now throwing out CCR and Eddie Rabbit. Because I think any song that has to do with rain has to start with Prince.
Well, you know, first of all, you're going to get this every single time. There is nobody with a rain delay song that doesn't have this on there.
Was that dude from here?
I think West Point, one of them, apparently.
The lead singer, Blind Melon, he was from here.
Now, I do agree with you, and this doesn't make many people's list. You know, like if we were to be sitting out there, we'd probably have to be 20 songs deep into the rain delay before
you get it.
Before we get
rain. And I say this every year of the Super Bowl because people say, man, that was a great halftime performance. But let me tell you this. Prince performing Purple Rain in the rain in Miami was the greatest halftime show ever.
Yeah, that was pretty tough. Pretty tough to beat. So, yeah, we'll have to do some thinking. That would have been a good Twitter poll.
What's the best
rain delay song list? Don't you know, though, like if I'm the PA announcer, I spend my off season just, I mean, deep digging, looking for my rain delay playlist.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. We sit here early in the morning on Friday. Rain is moving in. Got a little lightning in the area. If it is now close enough that when you start to pull it up, you see that there is a huge likelihood of rain as we go throughout the day. But the question is there a break? Is there a window? And you say, why on earth are we sitting here thinking about trying to play this game today? I think you got to start to think about next weekend. If you don't play tonight, what does that mean? It means you're throwing Nate Dome on Saturday. You got one fewer days than when he pitches next Friday against LSU.
And I can understand that portion of it. There's also the inevitable. And two, and here's the issue you have, I think, is you have a basketball game that is set for 1:30, okay, tomorrow, which is, right in the middle of the day. And if you're going to play a doubleheader, you want to play a doubleheader. You want to play a pair of nines. You don't want to play sevens, not against Evansville. What's the game? What's the old adage? The teams that are not good. The game is too long for the
game is too long for bad teams.
For bad teams. And I don't think, Evansville is going to be one of the better offensive teams. But you want to play 2-9. And so what that means is if you play a 1:30 basketball game on Saturday, that means you're probably starting game one of a doubleheader at 4 o'clock Are you going to play 18 innings worth of baseball? Hey, I'm just hypotheticaling this thing right now. Is that that's not a, really a word, but I'm using it. So that means, you know, you can't schedule game one of the doubleheader head-to-head with basketball. You want to make it a fan-friendly situation where they can walk right across the street. So you play at 4. That means the second game probably doesn't start till 7:30. That means you're not getting, you know, away from the ballpark till 11 o'clock at night, and then you're coming back the next day at 1 o'clock. I mean, am I overthinking that a little bit too much?
No, you're not.
But, yeah.
I also don't want to relive the hashtag all night at the dude.
Hey, I live that. I live that. Yes, firsthand at 1 o'clock in the morning and a dude from Alabama missed the pop-up.
Yes. You know? He was delirious.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, hey, this Evansville team, Charlie, they have a better strength of schedule than we do, which, you know, doesn't take many teams out there. I mean, our strength of schedule right now coming in to this weekend is 220 out of 305, 220 out of 305. Evansville, their strength of schedule is 197. They're 7-5. I mean, they're not going to pitch it great. They better not pitch it great. Offensively, they put up some numbers offensively, though, and so they'll be a decent team at the plate. It may be one of our better teams that we've seen offensively at the plate.
Okay, I see. There's a lot to unpack from this, but let me take these one at a time. True or false? And this is no reflection on. I'm not taking shots at anybody or anything. But what does it say about our schedule when this is – would you say this is the best team we've played?
Well, and, you know, I want to say Austin Peay, but you don't know what Austin Peay, you know, weekend pitching is like. I mean, they were going against some of our midweek guys. We'd be going – I mean, baseball's about matchups. I'm not answering your questions here. I mean, I thought we were going to come in here and debate the State of the Union address last night. That's what I came in prepared to do.
Yeah.
And so –
I didn't know it happened.
I didn't either. Or we could take the approach of anything you say, you know that you're right, and I'm going to say the complete opposite and know that I'm right.
All right, I would say, hang on, let's break this down. If we were power ranking the teams that we've played so far, at the end of the year, not right now, at the end of the year, highest RPI will belong to?
Georgia Southern.
Second place. Southern? Or are we just looking at weekends now?
I'm just looking at weekends. Southern Miss is going to be the highest RPI team you play the rest of the year just because of what they play in conference.
All right. And then?
And Georgia Southern is in the same conference. I think Georgia Southern and Southern Miss are going to be very similar. I don't think this is one of the better Southern Miss teams that we've seen.
Then will Evansville be ahead of Air Force?
No.
When this is all said and done?
Yeah. Yeah, probably so. And here's the reason why. They're going to play better teams. I mean, they're going to play – Missouri State's always going to have a decent RPI. Belmont's always going to have a decent RPI. Air Force is just not going to play any of the teams that are going to have a decent RPI at all.
All right, so here's where we stand right now. Of the teams that we've played, Southern Miss is at 88. Georgia Southern is at 79. So just like you said, very similar. Then you've got Air Force at 118. Mount St. Mary's is at 300.
They came up. They were 304 last week. See, going into the weekend. We pulled those guys up from 304 to 300.
Evansville's 135. So if you want an idea, they're actually sitting here below Air Force. We'll see how all that ends. This is a team. So let's look at what they have done this year. Evansville opened the season with Oral Roberts. They went to Tulsa. They took 2 out of 3.
And Oral Roberts is usually pretty good.
Oral Roberts has an RPI of 268.
Well, maybe not right now.
Okay.
They could round into shape.
Then they had Bellarmine.
I think Bellarmine is terrible this year.
They are. They're 284. They beat them. They run ruled Bellarmine. Bellarmine's 1-11. They played UNO a couple of games down at Maestri Field in New Orleans.
Now, they should have won 2 out of 3. They got beat in an extra inning game down there. Is that right? Got beat in 10 innings, and then they won 1 out of 3. But should have won 2 out of 3.
So they lost 10-8, lost 3-2 in 10 innings, and then won 18-4.
All right, so we'll play New Orleans Wednesday night. So what you're telling me is we'll know a lot more about our matchup with New Orleans on Wednesday night in Biloxi after this weekend.
After this weekend. They played Vanderbilt, lost that game 7-3. And then they played Purdue-Fort Wayne, who, before you laugh, RPI of 143. I mean,
that's not terrible.
It's not. And by the way, 143 is ahead of ours. And they took 3 out of 4 from Purdue-Fort Wayne. So they come in 7-5 on the season, 4-1 at home, 3-4 on the road. And, you know, Evansville, historically, what would you say about them? They've been good, not great.
They wear sleeves in their basketball uniforms.
The Purple Aces.
And at one time, they were really good in basketball. Remember Chris Hollander was an assistant coach under Rick Ray? Chris Hollander, and then was on Konzo's staff for a while at Missouri, and he was at UMKC too. He played at Evansville. And so, you know, Evansville is a small private school in Evansville, Indiana. It's tied to the United Methodist Church. It's got a very small enrollment.
Yeah, what, about 2,400 total, but less than 2,000 in terms of undergrads. Obviously, the Catholics got the advantage in the state of Indiana.
Oh, in the northern part. But this is southwest.
But, you know, Notre Dame's not nearly as big as people think anyway, but that's a different issue. So Evansville, you look at the coaching staff there historically. Wes Carroll, though, has been there 14 years. Dave Schrage was there. Schrage actually ended up being Notre Dame's coach. Came in right after Paul Maneri. Didn't work out. Lasted 4 years. Then Dave Seifert only lasted a couple of years. Then Wes Carroll came in. Before them, a guy, Jim Brownlee, was there 23 years. But in any event, Wes Carroll has been there since 2009.
Not to be confused with the former Bulldog quarterback, Wesley Carroll.
And they have never made an NCAA regional.
Evansville has never made a regional.
No, I'm sorry, under Wes Carroll.
Okay. Okay, this is the fourth consecutive weekend we're going to say the same thing. This weekend's about us. It's about throwing strikes. It's about what we do. And before we dive into us a little bit and look at this at the 10,000 feet view, Charlie, I've gone back. This may be, I don't want to say, you know, negative terms like worst or things like that. This may be as light of a preseason non-conference schedule as I've ever seen. And so there are, no matter what you do this weekend, there's still going to be question marks, but you just got to take care of what's in front of you right now. And it's imperative that you win all three games this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're done with, hey, we're close.
Yeah, we're 13 games in now. And so shaking all the cobwebs, trying to figure out rotations, things of that nature, it's time to play ball.
All right, so let's talk about our team a minute then. And let's go around the field and talk about where we are. As long as Logan Kohler is standing over at third base, you feel good? You have to, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely a guy that is defensively good for you and has made a lot of plays, has saved a lot of runs.
Need him to heat up the plate a little bit.
Need him to heat up the plate a little bit. I mean, hey, there's, you know, there are positives and deficiencies abound. And, I mean, yes, him particularly, he has been a positive vibe for you over on that left side, as has Dylan Cupp.
Dylan Cupp's been very good defensively. I feel like he's starting to have better at-bats. I think this is an important weekend where you would love to see Dylan Cupp have a 4 or 5 hit weekend. I'm not asking for something stupid, but, you know.
Yeah, you're talking about a 4-for-12 weekend. He's batting .333 on the weekend.
Yeah, oh, man, and you would feel great. Mershon has certainly added something to this team since he came back. He's going to come back down to earth. But, look, the first 31 at-bats for him have been pretty special. So you like where you are with him. All right, Dakota Jordan. Dakota, this one's interesting. So Dakota Jordan has had 60 plate appearances. 61, so he got hit by a pitch too. All right, so 61 plate appearances. I'm not looking at bats, plate appearances. He struck out 19 times. So he – in rough math, what, 30% of the time that he walks to the plate, he's striking out?
Yeah, and the thing that's kind of surprised me about Dakota, and I've seen it a little bit on the broadcast, and this is not any kind of knock whatsoever. I mean, when you're playing baseball, there are times when you get little things, you know, that are happening at the plate that are hard to get out of. And I know that, you know, the knock on Dakota has been, hey, you know, throwing breaking ball, breaking ball, breaking ball. The thing that's kind of surprised me about Dakota here early in the season, and it's kind of surprised me about a lot of our guys, we're missing on fastball. We're missing on fastball that gets a lot of played. And it's not just Dakota. It's a good many of our guys that the pitches, the 2-0 pitches, the 3-1 pitches, the geared up, here comes the fastball down the pipe. We're not fouling a lot of pitches off. We're swinging and missing at a lot of fastballs that catch a lot of hard. That's one of the things, you know, we always kind of talk before weekend starts, things to watch on a weekend. I think we brought it to the forefront last week about how many hits we're giving up on two strikes. And I think a lot of that is because we're just, you know, we're trying to pour through and we're not wanting to walk anybody. We're fourth in the country in strikeout-to-walk ratio, fourth in the country. So that's something we looked for last weekend. Here's what I want to look at this weekend is how many pitches that catch the heart of the plate, the heart of the plate on fastball that we swing and miss.
So having said that about Dakota, his OPS is also above 1,200. It's like one of these.
Oh, I mean, it's an anomaly.
He hits it.
Yeah, when he hits it, he hits it hard.
Here's what he's got. He has 17 hits, 5 doubles, 5 home runs. He's got 16 RBIs. He's walked 11 times. Oh, that's pretty good. On base percentage is .475. It's just a weird.
You know who he reminds me of? And you may not know this guy. And I was talking to Craig Tatum at the ball game the other night. And Craig, of course, played at State and, you know, had a great career here 20 years ago now. It's amazing how long he played for Coach Polk. And he was a part of some of those really good teams, you know, early 2000s. And we got to talking about a guy that was from Hattiesburg that's my age or a year or two older. There's a guy named John Lindsay. I don't know if you ever remember John Lindsay, played at Hattiesburg High School. John actually made it to the big leagues, got a cup of coffee up with the big leagues, you know, a long time ago. But John Lindsay and Dakota are very similar when it comes to their ability to hit the baseball. Now, John was drafted out of high school. He hit it a long, long way. But he had some swing and miss, too. And so I would love to know what his OPS would – I mean, it would have been very similar. Guys, when they contact the baseball, they destroy it. You don't want to be a shortstop without dental insurance, okay, if he hits the ball at you. But I was thinking about him the other night. I was talking to Craig about him, John Lindsay. And I'm sure there are other guys. Luther Hackman was like that over Columbus. Remember Luther Hackman over Columbus? Very similar. So, anyway, sorry to take you down that road.
Do you feel like it's just a small sample size that we're going to see this strikeout number go down?
Well, I want to say that, but let's look at what's going to happen over the next 3 weeks. You're about to see the best pitching you've seen all year long in the next month of the season when you face A&M, you face LSU. Now, you say it's going to be the best pitching. It's going to be different pitching. It's going to be 94 with hard sliders.
It's going to be what you faced all fall.
Right.
It's going to be what you see every day.
It's not going to be – now, to the casual eye, it's not going to be, you know – what you're seeing right now is 89 with sink. So it's just going to be a different style. And can he catch up to that? I mean, history has shown you that he can.
All right, backside of the starting pitching, I mean, nothing to complain about, right? I mean, if you can.
No, you had all three starts last week that picked up wins.
Yeah, and if Cal Steven is what he was the first and third weekends, again tomorrow, you feel pretty good about your rotation headed into the weekend. Brooks Auger. End of the game, you kind of want him in there, don't you?
Yeah, he looked like a closer the other night.
Luke Dotson, he looks good now.
Dotson looks good. You know, we were talking about that at Trustmark the other night about, you know, who's your closer, who you going to go to. And I said, well, it's got to be Auger. Auger the other night against Southern Miss in a one-run game, coming into the ball game, just his mannerisms on the mound, he looked like a closer. I mean, you know, that look, he looked like a closer.
Nolan Stevens looks like a guy who's going to be a really good baseball player for us.
Okay, so when he walked off the mound the other night, he came onto the mound, we're down 4-0, and he pitched very, very well. And we were talking about different guys, and Craig Tatum was one of the guys we were talking to. And I think Nolan Stevens is actually ahead of where you thought he would be. I mean, he had a really good high school career at Elk Grove. I mean, a lot of people talk well about him. And in the fall, we thought we had a really good freshman player. I think he's further along right now than we actually thought he would be.
I think he's a guy who has a chance to make a real impact at the plate and on the mound. You know, a lot of guys, you're still kind of sorting it out, right? But you know they got to be one or the other. I think he's got a chance to be one of those true dual-position guys.
I do, too.
Probably worth reminding everybody that we are in the Farm Bureau studios. Farm Bureau, go with the home team. They have agents in all 82 counties. If you get some rain in your house this weekend, give them a call.
Yeah.
But only if you've called them before then.
I mean, I
think let it be too late.
I think they're looking for like 2.5 inches of rain sometime, you know, over the next 24 hours here in Starkville. I mean, that's supposed to be a lot of rain. And on the front end, Charlie, a spring break.
I actually kind of miss spring break. It was a good week for me back in the day to get down to spring training. The baseball schedule, one thing that this schedule, all these home games have done is they've kind of killed my spring break ambitions because we've got baseball all weekend. And then we bookend it next weekend with LSU coming to town.
Yeah, are you going down to Biloxi?
I think so. I'm planning to.
I know you bought tickets early on.
I bought tickets. I've got a few little work issues to sort around.
If you're not using those tickets, I mean, you got some good tickets.
I do have really good tickets.
And so if you're not using those tickets, maybe I could slip you a 20.
Well, maybe you could bring me some of the country pleasing sausage that you owe me.
Well, probably do that. Hey, I know a lot of people that are going down to the beach. There's a lot of people going to Pickwick this weekend. I've actually talked to several friends that are going to Pickwick. And that's one of the places we want to talk about with our good friends at Heartland Catfish. You know, Heartland is producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish all over in the Mississippi Delta over in Itabena. They started out in the catfish ponds all the way to your plate, and they serve it at great restaurants around the southeast. And one of those restaurants is Top of the River, and one of the places in Mitchie, Tennessee, which is just west of the Pickwick Dam. And so the thing about Top of the River, it all started in Anniston, Alabama several years ago. I think 2002 is when they – or no, 1982. They've been in business for a long time now. Anniston, Gadsden, Alabama – Gunnersville, Alabama now at Gunnersville Lake, and so now in Mitchie, Tennessee. They opened that Mitchie store in 2012, and so our good friends at Top of the River, you can't beat it, Top of the River, but it's a great quality they get from our good friends at Heartland Catfish. And so if you're a restaurant wanting to serve the best catfish, our good friends at Heartland, you can also pick it up, that black and blue box, and get it at Walmart stores, but Heartland Catfish and the Top of the River. Go up to Mitchie, Tennessee if you're going to Pickwick next week.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about baseball and where we are, and at the end, I think maybe we have more answers, maybe we have more questions. We'll talk about those more on Sunday. Another thing we're going to be talking about somewhat heavily on Sunday, I anticipate, is this basketball game tomorrow that starts at 1:30. State went on the road, played at College Station, had a chance to lock themselves into the NCAA tournament, and they just went through a stretch where they were awful, terrible, no good, rotten, whatever that book was.
Whatever the really basketball version day of the Bad News Bears.
Yeah, and then they found a lineup combination that figured it out, and they go on a run. And, you know, the challenge with runs are these. They take energy. How many times do you see in basketball somebody goes on a run and they get almost there, maybe they tied up, but then the team who was leading goes ahead and pulls back away? It 15-0 runs take a lot of energy.
Yeah, they do. And there's, like the other night, a lot of times it's when you get close. It's when you get to within two, within three, within four, when you've made that big run, and then all of a sudden all it takes is one shot. All it takes is one make on the offensive end for Texas A&M, and the bubble pops.
And they had a guy just drive the lane, attack.
Yep.
And
is that the thing that bothers you? That I mean, I know it bothers the coaching staff, and I know it bothers his team, especially the coaching staff, is the number of high percentage shots that you're giving up. Because we gave up some easy buckets in the first half. We did not – that's two games in a row. And, of course, Auburn is Auburn. But that's two games in a row where you've come out of the gate on the road and have kind of laid an egg early. And, hey, kudos for what you do to get back in the game. We actually got on fire and got hot. I thought they had some combinations. You talk about finding the right combinations. You know, Anderson Garcia, guy that used to be here, plays hard. I mean, they put him at the five, and he was – Tolu, I mean, that's just a tough matchup for Tolu to have to try to guard Anderson Garcia.
Well, and the other thing is they were – you know, Garcia plays with a ton of energy. He's made himself a nice player. He's got a little Rodman vibe to him. Not the crazy thing, but the guy that just is –
plays hard, yeah.
You know, the
– has a knack for where the ball's going to come off the rim.
It's unbelievable. To play no more than he does and to lead the league in rebounding is crazy. But I think for me the thing is, it just feels sometimes like opposing guards just get playing downhill on us. And they did it. And here's – when I look at it, you know, Josh Hubbard, one of his best skills – isn't shooting, it's the ability to get off a shot. Meaning there are times when he elevates and can get off jump shots that our other guys can't get out of their hands. Rams, though, I thought played really well defensively. DJ played well defensively. But, you know, Cam had an uncharacteristically bad game. He didn't take care of the basketball. And it wasn't a lack of effort. I mean, I was watching the guy. He was as frustrated as he could be.
Okay, to me, on dribble penetration – you're playing at such a high level. Guards that you play against, and it's our guards too. When you start talking about dribble penetration, and you know, you may say, "Man, that was poor defense by your guard." That was poor defense by Josh Hubbard or poor defense by Rams. The guy got past him. I mean, that happens every night in the league you play in, or the top half of college basketball, because guards get by. It's what happens within 12 feet. And to me, that's been the thing that's kind of been kind of crazy to try to figure out, because once they get past your guards at 15 feet, it's unmolested at times.
Well, and that's a change in the game. I got to thinking on the way home the other night from work, I was thinking, all right, what is it that's going on? And I think there are a couple of things that have happened to us that have not – our setup wasn't conducive for these things. These were unlucky. The first thing that was unlucky is the way they've changed the game. Josh Hubbard got three fouls, and on two of them, he was barely in the camera frame with the guy. There was very, very little contact. And our guards aren't built for going on the attack like some others are. They're just not.
We're shooters, and we're not dribble penetrators.
Yes, and some days we're not.
Well, I mean.
Okay. But
I see what you're saying.
But we are not. I should say this. Like Shaq Moore, you would say, is a guy who's a pretty good attack-the-rim guy in the sense of, he's more of a slash the open lane. He's not the guy that's going to go just take it into the defender and draw the contact, get the foul, and the free throw. We had that go on. And so that, I think, hurt us. The second thing that hurt us with some of our opponents this year is there are guys that you pass on because they would have to sit out. But then the federal courts got involved, and guys who were sitting out aren't sitting out anymore.
True that.
And so you go back and you say, well, man, if I'd have known this guy was playing, we might have – maybe you think about things differently. And so I think those two things – now, at the end of the day, none of it matters. What matters is you got to win this ball game tomorrow. You win this ball game tomorrow, you feel pretty good that you're in the NCAA tournament. You don't.
Well,
it's tough.
Yeah, and I have always – I never put a whole lot of stock in mouthpieces in the media. But I will say this. I think Joe Lunardi is pretty good. I think he usually is pretty good where he thinks teams are stacked up. He's got some people he talks to that know things. And right now he's got you in the last four teams that are playing without a bye, which I think is the next to last team. And then all of a sudden you got four teams that are last four in. Those are the people who get the byes or whatever. Here's the thing that, you know, that kind of worries you a little bit is, you know, you're on the bubble on the positive right now by six teams, and that is probably taking into account winning a basketball game on Saturday. You lose this game, and conference tournaments have not kicked up, and you let some crazy things go on in conference tournaments, and then all of a sudden, man, you've really played your way into a tight situation, especially if you lose this game Saturday. And then you go to Nashville, and you lose the first round up there. I mean, so, all right. That to me is the thing that's so interesting about where we are right now is I just look at this team and I think we're a talented basketball team. I think Chris Jans is a good basketball coach. And, you know, a lot of the people and some of the people I talk to, and you got to watch who you talk to because there are some positive people out there, some negative people out there. And, you know, what some of the people that are concerned of is saying, man, we're too talented of a team to be sitting here the last game of the season in the shape we're in.
Man, but look around the league this year. This league is really good.
It is good.
It is a better version of the league than we've seen in 10 years, I would argue.
With Tennessee, and hey, you've got some good wins. Tennessee and Auburn are really good wins.
I think what has happened in this league, there just aren't any gimmies anymore other than Missouri.
Other than Missouri.
I mean, and even Arkansas, who at one time looked like one.
And it takes it out of you. I mean, if you've ever played sports, a lot of times it's not just the game. We're talking about the runs you make and the energy you expend trying to get back in ball games. It's that dagger that you lose when you put it all out on the floor on a Tuesday night against Kentucky, and then you've got 2 days worth of practice to get zeroed in and ready for Auburn.
And I would say this, though. It does feel like there have been a couple of losses this year that have beat us more than once.
Yeah.
Losing up in Oxford beat us a couple of more times. I think Kentucky kept beating us a little while.
I think Kentucky's beat us twice.
Yeah. And so now you got a game tomorrow, and here's my other concern. It's senior day.
Oh.
I'd cancel it. We'll do it after the game.
Well, in today's world of senior days – and when you go around the country, senior days don't mean a whole lot to a lot of people anymore because a lot of guys are coming in. With this bunch, it means a lot.
Well, A&M senior day the other day, they had videos on all the guys. And it was in his 4 years at Georgia Southern, so-and-so did that.
But here.
And here,
with Tolu,
he's appeared in 18 games.
I mean, these guys have been here for a while.
Yeah, Tolu, so, DJ.
So it's a different –
Cam will go through. I guess you'll – I don't know if Shaq Moore will go through, I would guess. Rams. I don't care. Just get them ready to play. All right, so that's probably enough talking about this weekend.
It is.
But if you are coming into town, one thing that would be good to do is stop by, see Maroon and Company. Hey, Wyatt Craig and these guys have been absolutely incredible to us. They have an entire section of Bulldog Initiative gear. They're coming up with more. They also have interlocking MSU gear. They got the state script gear, whatever in the flavor of state you want, stop by and get it. I'll just tell you that all the cool kids are wearing the Bulldog Initiative stuff.
Hey, I want to talk about Bulldog Initiative in just a minute, but of course you're coming to town this weekend, and where you get your coffee on Sunday morning, you get ready for Sunday coffee with us. And that's our good friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. Strange Brew Coffee House on Highway 12 and Spring Street. That's the original location. They're also in Tupelo and now in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, and they'll ship you that great coffee. Started my day this morning going through the drive-through line and seeing the nice people at Strange Brew. Got my blueberry cobbler-flavored coffee, a little bit of cream, a little bit of Splenda. Not going the sugar route, Charlie. But anyway, it's great stuff. Got my day working right, and that's our good friends at Strange Brew Coffee House.
All right, so stop by Maroon & Company, stop by, see our friends at Strange Brew, go with the home team. And whether we play tonight or not, I don't know. If we don't play tonight, you know what I'm going to do tonight, Bart?
I hope it's not sit at the ballpark and wait for them to call a game.
I'm going to just sit there and, well, yeah. I'm going to sit at home, make my rain delay playlist. And that.
It better have Prince in the first five songs.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get some order restored. All right, we'll be back on Sunday, and we will either be sad or happy. I think we're gonna be happy.
I'm gonna be glass half full.
Indeed, half full of what is what I'm concerned with. All right, anyway, see you Sunday.